Well, thank you again for the special invite. Didn't say hi to Annabelle. Hi, Annabelle. And also, Bernice, if you're listening in, I certainly miss our times together at Legion Matter. Make sure that you say hello to all of our friends, and hopefully we can get together soon once again. And thank you, Rhonda, for that. You Are My Hope, I think the title was. What a beautiful song, and must have taken up a lot of Holy Spirit filling time to get the words for that hymn. I hope you get it published. It was absolutely wonderful. Anyway, thank you again. Paul, just before this particular, the Apostle Paul, just before this passage of scripture, says in verses 16 and 17, which is the theme of the book of Romans, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. That's good news. However, we never fully appreciate the good news until we understand the bad news, God's wrath against sin. That's introduced in verse 18. The wrath of God is revealed, is being revealed, it's ongoing from heaven against all the wickedness of men. Musician Chris Tomlin's beautiful song, Is He Worthy?, asks two questions for which the answer is yes. Is the world broken? Is creation groaning? While playing beach saxophone on Tuesday morning, a man came up to me and thanked me and began talking with me. He was alarmed. I hadn't heard this in a long time, since the 70s, the 80s. He was alarmed with the earth's overpopulation. I was reminded of something heard many years before. A respected Norwegian Christian researcher and author wrote about the Ebola virus and the state of the world, especially about an award-winning Texas scientist given a standing ovation by their science academy in Texas after he promoted the extermination, get this, of 90,000 of the Earth's population by an airborne Ebola, because to him, the Earth would not survive unless its human population was cut down to a tenth of its present number. Back then, 6 billion, can you imagine, to 600 million. And we wonder why the world is broken, why it's groaning. Sadly, I recently read about more and more children and youth wanting gender reassignment surgeries. And a scripture came to mind. Can you guess it? It's in Isaiah verse 5. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes. What's wrong with our world? Why is it so messed up? And what's the solution? What's the answer? What's the remedy? And something is wrong because verse 18 is very, very clear. God's wrath is on display against people's ungodliness and their unrighteousness, their suppression of their truth in indecency. And God's wrath has been given a bad rap. Sometimes we apologize because we think it's not consistent with God's love. One dictionary defines it as extreme anger. Another dictionary softens it, strong anger. There's no way to soften this word's blow. Missionary Charles Price is right when he declares we must humbly look at it to understand it. Two questions this morning. How is God's wrath elicited, activated, triggered, and how is it expressed? Well, God's wrath, to begin with, is elicited, triggered by the sinfulness of mankind. That's pretty clear in our passage. Mankind, they know God's truth instinctively. It's written upon their hearts. Yet they push it away. They smother it. They stamp on it to live their own way. The truth is plain to them, scripture says, because God has made it plain to them. And in their suppression of the truth, they fail, verse 20, verse 21, to glorify, to give thanks to God. Instead, they worship and serve created things and not their creator. Our culture is messed up because, verse 25, they traded in the truth for lying. They did not think, verse 28, it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God. The issue is not ignorance, it's disobedience, willfully turning away from God as he revealed himself, deliberate rebellion, rejection of what they know. So how does God reveal himself, make himself known? Three ways, but we're only going to look at two of them this morning. First, creation, verse 20. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, divine nature, have been clearly seen. Behind the genius of this creation is God. The universe is the natural or general revelation of the Most High. It's God giving some light so men and women will see and believe and begin to seek God and one day find him as they respond to even more of God's light. Abraham Lincoln, "I never behold the star-filled heavens that I do not feel I am looking into the face of God. I can see how it might be possible for a man to look down upon the earth and be an atheist. I cannot conceive how he could look up into the heavens and say there is no God." Every time I look at the heavens on a star-studded night, you know, it's as if back in the right-hand corner I see the signature of Jehovah. We all have a revelation of God, but do we follow, as one pastor puts it, the trail to the mountain being the knowledge of God? If we are lazy, indifferent, unconcerned, unmoved, we will not follow the trail to know God. What happens? Well, verse 23, we worship creation. That's what? Well, that's idolatry. So our thinking becomes futile and our heart darkened. The Old Testament writers, Moses, Jeremiah, defined the heart as beyond cure, deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, evil all the time. As writer David Cook writes, we deliberately suppress the truth about God by exchanging the truth and glory of God for the lie of idolatry. G.K. Chesterton, American poet, influential in the conversion of C.S. Lewis and Malcolm Muggeridge, and from Malcolm Muggeridge myself way back in 1979. He writes, "When a man stops believing in God, he doesn't then believe in nothing, he believes in anything." How true. That's how we're wired. All communities, whatever their influence, have churches and synagogues, mosques, temples. If not, then people replace that with rock stars and sports stars and heroes of one form or another, including politicians. We create a celebrity culture because innately we must have someone bigger than ourselves to worship. But the tragedy is we will consequently experience spiritual, moral, and behavioral bankruptcy if we suppress the general revelation of God in creation. Verse 29 and following, they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They are full of envy, etc., etc., etc. Here's the Apostle Paul's charge. It's not that they don't know God, but that they fail to follow through with what they know to be true about him. While creation, God's first revelation of himself, is not enough to save sinners, it does contain enough light for men to acknowledge the existence of God and to go on and praise him, thank him, and give him the obedience that he is worthy of. God has secondly revealed himself in our conscience. You can look this verse up, Romans 2:15, when you have some time. right and wrong, good and bad, are rooted in the heart. We call it natural law. Ecclesiastes 3:11, God has set eternity in the heart of man. That's why young children recognize injustice. They have an acute sense of fairness, knowing right from wrong. Once again, we had our two twin granddaughters, they're 8 years old, visiting with us for 24 hours yesterday. And Granddad, why didn't I get one when Stella got one? There it is. They're acutely aware of the injustice. We have the moral character of God built in us because we bear his image. Evil in the world will at times seem to dominate, to flourish, but the natural law built into us is designed to bring us back to something better. Natural law in time destroyed in the 1940s, Hitler's 1,000-year reign. In the 1970s, the Cambodian killing fields of Pol Pot. In the 1980s, Russia's communism. They did not survive their censorships and cruelties because natural moral law is written on the human heart. Ignoring God and his truth as revealed in creations and conscience is what elicits or triggers or activates God's wrath. Second, how is God's wrath expressed to us? That's the second question we want to answer this morning. Verse 18 again, the wrath of God is being expressed to the wicked who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Does the Most High normally and immediately when we sin cause us to have an accident or kill us outright like he did Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5? No, although he could. So then how does his wrath usually express itself? Three times in our passage, we read something deep. 24, therefore God gave them over. 26, because of this, God gave them over. Verse 28, furthermore, God gave them over. This is how God's wrath is unfolded. This is how his wrath is told to us. God gives us over to the obvious end of our choices. He leaves humanity to live with the fruit of its choice, and that fruit numbers a lot. 24, 26, 27, and verses 28 to 32. There's a list of the sins, and they're not exhaustive. God lets us go our own way, but God, being the perfect, patient gentleman, speaks, I will leave you alone. Yes, I'm going to leave you alone. I will give you what you wish. You may have your sins, and they will damn you. And Paul speaks of three areas in which this giving over is true. And we are living in a Romans 1 world right now. And each of these areas is God's present judgment on our society. First, we are given over to immorality, verse 24. God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. If you are here this morning and engaging in some immoral behavior, I remind you of an illustration in 1 Corinthians 5, where a man has inappropriate relations with a relative. Verse 5 says, hand this man over to Satan. Yes, hand this man over to Satan. It's the same phrase as gave them over. Paul writes, do this, so that the sinful nature may be destroyed and his spirit saved on the day of the Lord. Wow, that's scary. How does it happen? Through exchange. Notice the words, exchanged or abandoned. They exchanged the worship of God for the worship of created things. Verse 23. Exchanged sexual purity for sexual impurity. 25. Exchanged the truth for a lie, 27, 28. First, God gives us over to immorality. Second, we are given over to homosexuality. Verse 26, God gave them over to shameful lusts. This is not a popular position to hold in this age of moral tolerance. And someday Christians may be jailed for saying what I have just said. But Jesus' followers are not at liberty to water down or explain away Scripture's clear teaching because of political correctness or the political climate of the day. Perspicuity, perspicuity of Scripture, the doctrine of clear, that Scripture is clear and free, and free from obscurity. We must, however, with due courtesy, grace, and much love, call a spade, and at the same time remind all sinners, idolaters, homosexuals, liars, thieves, adulterers, murderers, gluttons, and so many more, that their only hope is to turn to Jesus Christ for mercy. In 1 Corinthians 6, I love verse 11. That is what some of you were, but you were made clean by Jesus Christ and God's Holy Spirit. King Solomon long ago wrote that God has set eternity in the human heart where he is to rule. If God, our creator, is not on the throne of the human heart, I ask you, what is left? A vacuum. And what does a vacuum do? It must be filled. And it does so with created things. Verse 22, although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human and birds and animals. When we attach value and virtue to created things that we possess, we are living under what? Again, the wrath of God. This is Paul's message in verse 25. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. It's the breaking of the first two commandments, Exodus 20. What may I ask you, what motivates you in the morning to get up? What gives you meaning, purpose? What gives you that sense of worth and significance? It's not easy following God in our culture today, which values highly money and wealth and possessions, and even more so, self. I remember when community was valued in the 60s and 70s and 80s when I was growing up, and I don't know when it changed, probably in the 80s, that the individual is now more valued than the community. Idolatry is our culture's normality, replacing the creator with created things. When materialism becomes our God, then as Charles Price says, sex becomes the goddess. History shows that when nations become materially prosperous, then in time, unless God intervenes, they usually become spiritually indifferent, no retaining of the knowledge of God, verse 28. And then morality, and then morally bankrupt. And then the moral impoverishment destroys material prosperity. And the nation will collapse, and the cycle continues. It was true of the Roman Empire and other civilizations, and it is true of the Western world today, unless people repent. It's ironic, I think, that our society describes as gay, a lifestyle characterized by a desperate search for fulfillment of lusts, which will never be satisfied. Malcolm Muggeridge, again, a late convert to Christianity, influential in my conversion 44 years ago, writes, true happiness lies in forgetfulness of the self, not indulgence of the self, an escape from carnal appetites, not in their satisfaction, and to have done with all worldliness, to shed his old egotistic and carnal self like a snake shedding its skin, and devote himself wholly to serving God's purposes as revealed in the teachings of Jesus Christ, and symbolized by the cross on which he died. Malcolm Muggeridge was a latecomer to the Christian faith. He knew what he was speaking of. He had lived that life. So, first, given over to immorality, and second, homosexuality. Third, we are given over to depravity of the mind, You see that in verse 28. A depraved mind is a reprobate mind, a confused mind. Stuart Briscoe says this: confusion about deity leads to confusion about humanity. Confusion about humanity leads to confusion about identity. Confusion about identity gives rise to confusion about sexuality. This is why some men to think they are, or some men today think they are women, and some women think they are men. This is why some doctors will prescribe sex change drugs at the request of the parents for a boy who thinks he's a girl. Incredibly sad, and a sign of a confused, depraved mind. The biblical truth is, if you get deity wrong, then you will get humanity wrong, followed by getting identity wrong. And the sexual breakdown of our day, as it was at the end of the Roman Empire, is an unsurprising and really expected result of spiritual breakdown that exchanges truth for a lie. So we become confused and begin to approvingly, yes, approvingly, verse 32, affirm and promote what is a violation of God's truth. And God calls that futility, depravity, folly, for not following his clues or the increasing light as God has given them with his creation, our conscience. And yes, in Romans 3, his Christ. Wisdom begins with the fear of God. When you have some time, carefully go over verses 29 to 32. And you will discover just over 20 different fruits, which are symptoms of a confused, depraved mind, lacking any fear of God. Really, these sins mirror our society today. God's judgment with Ananias and Sapphira was swift. It was obvious, removing their hypocrisy from the church. This giving over in Romans 1 is a less obvious and more passive form of wrath. It allows sin to wander on through the life of the church, and it makes life hard for God's people, for God's pastors. Yet mercifully, an opportunity for repentance and salvation is always there. So we are living under the wrath of God. If we are here this morning and living in sin, and we go away thinking we're getting away with it, we're deluding ourselves. But remember, our conscience is sensitive at the start of life. But as we continue to sin and it goes on without consequences, it becomes desensitized. And more we think, I'm getting away with it. But in time, our sin will find us out. As a pastor who has served over 40 some years, three different churches, I have seen it work its way out in my very, very first congregation. I worked with one of my elders. I had an elders board, I had a deacon's board, but one of my elders that I had appointed for all the years that I was ministering there was having an affair with someone. He hid it so well, but 2 years after I left, he was discovered and stood before the church and confessed that sin. Our sin will find us out. We must confess the sin and repent, turn from that sin. Do you know what will be the ultimate expression of God's wrath? A day of righteous judgment, when secret sins will be exposed and judged. We will either stand with Jesus covered in his righteousness, or we will stand alone to face the wrath of God and his ultimate sentence, hell. Eternally separated from God. If the problem with sin is that it messes my life up and makes me its slave, then can you seek counseling to resolve it, overcome it? No, for that is not the issue with sin. The problem with sin is that sin elicits, provokes the wrath of God. Counseling won't help, because most counseling normally does not deal with God's wrath unless it's Bible-based and Christ-centered. And we praise the Lord for the cross of Christ. It once and for all addresses God's wrath. in Christ is the cure for a sin addict, which we all are without Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath of God. Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus took upon himself all our dirt and filth, all our unrighteousness, and gave us his righteousness. Now that's good news. He gave me beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that we might be what? Trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. That's why Paul would write the theme of the book of Romans. I am not ashamed of the gospel, the power of God for the salvation of all believers. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith. The righteous will live by faith. That's the verse that brought Martin Luther to his knees and took away his depression and gave him such a joy in the Lord. What a wake-up call for mankind. I ask you, are you seeing this morning? Are you in Christ? We need to understand how bad the bad news is if we are ever to understand how good the good news is. The good news is only good news because Jesus Christ is rescuing us from the bad news, God's righteous anger. Listen, if God is not a God of wrath, we must question whether he is a God of love. They go hand in hand. Without his wrath, God simply does not love in the sense that the Bible portrays his love, because God's love is not sentimental. It is holy. It involves not only kindness, compassion, and mercy beyond measure, what we call, or the New Testament calls, grace, but also, as someone said, and I quote, indignation against injustice and unremitting opposition to all that is evil. Have you ever heard of this old chorus? There's a way back to God. Perhaps you have sung it. There's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open and you may go in. At Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. Cutting the population by 90% is not the answer to Chris Tomlin's and our broken, groaning world, whether they be ecological or whatever. It's coming to Jesus. That's the answer. And when you do that through repentance and faith, stop worrying about what's going on earth. Be the ultimate optimist, because as John MacArthur likes to say, I've read the end of the story and Christ wins. However, never stop warning God's people to stop chasing the world. Revelation 1:3. Never stop proclaiming Jesus as the answer to the messiness of life. If I read the Bible right, things are only going to get worse. Christianity will get more alien and less acceptable in the culture. But never forget as well that political parties and all sinners are not our enemies, but our mission field. And our mission has always been to tell God's truth. Satan is the real enemy, and we are in spiritual warfare. My Wednesday's devotional song by Charles Wesley was Jesus, the name high over all. He writes, and I love this, "Thee I shall constantly proclaim, though earth and hell oppose, bold to confess thy glorious name before a world of foes. His only righteousness I show, his saving grace proclaim. 'Tis all my business here below to cry, behold the Lamb, behold, behold the Lamb." Lauren Daigle's hit song, "Look Up, Child," challenges the believer to continually look up to God, as she says, because the world is crumbling. Let's pray. Lord, worshiping self and rejecting you have horrible consequences. As I read this week, we have murdered shame and are dancing on its grave. Lord, forgive us. Heavenly Father, as hymn writer William Cowper once expressed, "The dearest idol I have known, whatever that be, help me to tear it from your throne and worship you alone." Help us, Lord, we need your help to put to death impurity and lust and evil desires and greed. These idols offer no satisfaction and simply kindle your anger, your wrath, your holy anger against us. We live in a fallen, wicked, intolerant culture. Assist us, Jesus, when given the opportunity to demonstrate both grace and courage and never deny your lordship. We love you so much, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and we so need you. These are desperate times. And the gospel, as we celebrated around the Lord's table this morning, the gospel is the most wonderful news in the world. For any unbelievers listening in, I ask, are you weighed down by your sins? Then confess those sins. Turn away from them. Receive by faith into your heart Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and invite the Holy Spirit to come into your life to take charge of it. Thank you again, Jesus, for receiving sinful men and changing them so that they can work to make our society, our culture, our world a godlier place. Use us, God, in your great harvest field. Find a place for us. We pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.